Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The year was 1961, and 13 people boarded a Greyhound in Washington, D.C., 7 black, 6 white. They were headed for a rally in New Orleans, but they never made it there by bus. Because they defied rules about where blacks could sit and with whom, members of the Ku Klux Klan firebombed the buses in Alabama. They tried to trap the panicked riders inside the burning vehicles. In Birmingham, the activists were beaten with baseball bats, iron pipes, and bicycle chains. They were the original freedom riders. More of them boarded in Nashville and were arrested in Jackson, Alabama. Joining us now is Jim Zwerg, one of those freedom riders who risked his life for the cause of racial equality. He's profiled in a new PBS documentary produced by our partner station WGBH in Boston. It's an American Experience documentary called Freedom Riders, Threatened, Attacked, Jailed, and it premieres on PBS on May 16th. Jim, I want to play you a clip that's featured in the documentary. This is you speaking to the press in 1961 from a hospital bed.
We're dedicated to this. We'll take hitting. We'll take beating. We're willing to accept death. But we're going to keep coming until we can ride from anywhere in the South to anyplace else in the South without anybody making any comments. Just as American citizens.
Jim, I can't imagine what it's like to hear your voice. I mean, you sound exhausted as you're making that comment. And I wonder if that moment, if you thought that there was a chance that you might die.
I thought very definitely, as I was not on the core bus, but I was on the first bus from Nashville, and it was in Montgomery that I was beaten. Actually, when that video was taken, I was unaware of it. I remember some bright lights, but a spirit much higher than myself was guiding my words that day.
Today, is the situation that we have today, do you think we've reached what you were fighting for, what you were willing to risk your life for?
That specific change has taken place, but there are still many, many issues, not just the big worldwide issues, but issues closer to home, as simple as bullying, for instance, and gay and lesbian situations. And I mean, all we have to do is look around, and you can find something in your local community, your local church, your state, whatever it might be, that needs addressing.
We're also joined by Glenda Gaither Davis, a freedom rider herself. And Glenda, I understand you were 18 years old when you boarded that bus.
That's correct. Well, and I actually did not board a bus. I traveled from New Orleans to Jackson, Mississippi by train.
And did you think that you were in physical danger? Did you think there would be any kind of mob violence?
I did. I certainly did, because I had participated previously in demonstrations and sit-ins in the Orangeburg, South Carolina area where I was a college student. But I was not deterred by the fact that something may happen.
Well, let me ask you, Glenda, can you kind of describe the conditions that made both of you so willing to give up your life, if necessary, in order to change those conditions? I mean, what was it like there?
Well, I grew up in the rural South in a very small town, and prejudice and this kind of behavior was nothing new to me. But I think at some point in time, you get annoyed, and you also feel like if you could do something about reckoning these conditions, whatever small thing you could do, then it's worth doing.
Jim, you're white. You're a white guy, and you were white when you got onto that bus back in the 1960s. Yeah, that hasn't changed. Glenda, I mean, it seems to me she was taking a very real risk when she boarded that bus. Did you make sacrifices, even in your decision to become one of the Freedom Riders? What was that like when you told your family and your friends about that decision?
Being white, I had experienced in Nashville the reality that I was frequently a focus of violence because they hated me almost more than they hated the blacks, because I was a traitor to the white race. So when I got on that bus, I was fully aware that I would probably be a focus for the violence if we indeed encountered violence, and we anticipated we probably would at some point along the ride.
It is a very different thing, though, I imagine, Glenda, imagining what may happen to you when you take part in these kind of protests. And the same for you, Jim. And then the reality comes in, and Glenda, you were arrested.
That's true.
And Jim, you were beaten.
I was also arrested before I got beaten. I got arrested in Birmingham before we ever made it to Montgomery. One of the African-American students and I, as we left Nashville, initially we weren't going to try and do anything to rock the boat until we got to Birmingham. But Paul Brooks was his name, and Paul got on the bus and looked in the back, and it was pretty full, and he said, Jim, would you sit up front with me? So we immediately were breaking the law by sitting together two seats behind the bus driver. And as we hit Birmingham, Bull Connor stopped the bus, got on, arrested us. And the thing that I thought was funny is they put me in the drunk tank.
They had no place to put you, or did they assume that you were drunk?
I think they assumed that the drunks might be a little less inhibited to whoop on me.
Oh, wow.
But they did not.
I'm wondering, do you think that we can sort of revisit the past too often? Is there a sense in which sometimes we go back to the civil rights movement so much that it discourages young people from starting their own civil rights movement today?
No, I think we learn from the past. One of the things that is very apparent to me as I go around and am asked to speak in places, a lot of the young people, they have never heard of the Freedom Ride. Even more people simply do not understand nonviolence. And in 50 years of going around and speaking about it, every time I go to a location, I ask, how many of you have read Dr. King's Stride Towards Freedom, which outlines the principles of nonviolence and the steps for social change? In 50 years, only two people, and both of those were professors. That's tragic. And this is the most basic human spirit at its best.
Jim Zwerg was a freedom rider, as was Glenda Gaither Davis, both freedom riders in the 1960s. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Both Glenda and Jim are profiled in the new PBS documentary that was produced by our partner WGBH in Boston. The documentary is an American experience documentary called Freedom Riders: Threatened, Attacked, Jailed. It premieres on PBS on May 16th.